Why did you actually choose plant pathology?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are many different areas I could have picked. But I had a very good professor who taught us how actually plants get sick, and like humans, like animals, plants also get a lot of diseases, bacterial diseases, viral diseases, fungal diseases, a myriad of diseases. And if they get sick, then we have no food. So that was really, in a simplified way, that was the reason. And I found it very interesting also, the science of plant pathology, which is diseases of plants, yeah.
You went from USA, you went to South America. What did you do in South America?
Yeah, so I studied in my undergraduate degree in Ethiopia, then I got scholarship, went to United States. That's what I really wanted to do, and so I studied there, and I did my master's degree and my PhD degree in America, and I had also, after my PhD, I had a job in as a scientist in the US, in Cornell University. And so after that, I was recruited by an international agricultural research center based in Colombia. So I had never been in Colombia before. They approached me to consider a job there. So I was employed by the organization as a senior scientist. And then I moved there in Colombia. Yeah.
What did you do in Colombia?
In Colombia, so I was a senior scientist in charge of diseases of forage plants. And it was a very enjoyable setting, enjoyable job, because everything we did was to solve a problem for society, particularly for developing countries. And it was a great phase for me. And I get to learn a new language, Spanish. The people are nice, and the country is beautiful. And I met my husband there also. He was at the same time when I was recruited from United States, the same company recruited him also from the Netherlands, from his country. And we met one day apart. We arrived there and one day apart, basically, yeah. So, and then our daughter was also born there in Colombia. So, both of us also grew as scientists within the organization also. So it was very good. And I felt we made a lot of difference for people. So we were working for basically the developing world in South America, in Asia, in Africa, just based in Colombia. So it was a very good time, yeah.
You also educated a lot of Chinese students.
Yes.
So you became a friend of China.
Yes, I did. So I think one of the exciting things is that in that organization, you are a scientist for any developing country that needs your skills and technologies. So you are not particularly working for just one country or the other. So many different students, graduate students, came to work with me. So among those was many Chinese. So the Chinese were partially funded by their government. So they came to do their research in my laboratory. So they are very hardworking people. And I spent a considerable amount of time also training them. So that was my one of the success stories. And I had Colombian students, I had Brazilians, I had many different countries also.
The Chinese, it wasn't unnoticed that you educated a lot of Chinese people. You got a medal from the Chinese.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go to Africa then?
Yeah, so that was a turning point for me. So all those years, I was in Colombia for 15 years. I grew as a scientist within the organization. I was promoted also within the organization. For my career, it was great. But at the back of my mind, I was also thinking and really contemplating also what is actually my impact for Africa, coming from a poor village, knowing how people live, struggle to make ends meet. So I was always questioning also whether that Colombia needs me more than Africa needed me. But I think the turning point came in September 2006, as the Chinese gave me their highest award, what they called the Friendship Award, for the role I had played in their agricultural research development and impact, basically through the graduate students I trained, who had become very successful scientists back in China. So at a ceremony, there was a big ceremony there, and on the stage, when it was announced that I'm from Ethiopia and I have made this contribution to China, so it was not a proud moment for me. It was almost I was embarrassed. Here I was from a poor country, and I was getting a medal, a gold medal from the Premier of China for impact made in China, and I was questioning whether on the stage, does actually China need me more than Africa? So that was the stage, actually, on the stage right there, I decided, okay, I'm going back to Africa. So, yeah.
You became finally in Africa, yeah. Director of this Insect Institute. Why an Insect Institute?
Yeah. So when I came back to Africa, I was not immediately the head of this institute. So I was recruited by another international organization based here in Nairobi to establish the Agricultural Biotechnology Center for Africa, funded by the Canadian government. So it was a tough job, a tough task, but it gave me opportunity to do something from scratch for Africa. So I did that for 5.5 years, established the center, became a very successful center. I raised a lot of money, trained, set up the program, and so on. So then I was approached by another organization if I could take the position of a vice president for programs. So I accepted that, but it was not a research organization, so I was not, I wanted to go back into the research organization. So this then, this opportunity came to head ICP, the International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology. So I accepted that, and so it is a perfect place for me, with perfect programs for Africa. So why insects? So people often ask me, wow, the whole organization for just insects? And why insects? That's what people ask. But yeah, this is a unique organization. I think, as far as I know, the only organization that deals 100% on insects. Because insects are extremely important in our lives. They are by far the most diverse and the most abundant animals on Earth. They play various roles in our lives. If you take bees, they play a critical role in pollinating our crops. So if bees have to disappear tomorrow, our food source would be in big, big trouble. So they pollinate our crops like bees. Insects also play a critical role as food source. Food for humans and feed for animals. So about 2 billion people in Africa, Latin America, Asia consume insects as a source of protein. So I believe this is also actually a source that has to be mainstreamed all across, I think, the globe as a good source of high quality protein. So also bees give us also a lot of things, food, feed, insects, wax, a range of things. Insects also, they have also ecologically also, there are insects that control other harmful insects also. Insects play a role also in degrading waste, plant waste, animal waste, and so on. So in fact, if we don't have insects, our world would be a lot of really mess, with a lot of garbage, a lot of waste that we put, which is not being degraded by some microbes and insects. So, but unfortunately, we also that insects also are harmful to humans, animals, to crops. They transmit a lot of diseases. Small things like mosquitoes kill more people than every day than global conflicts put together. So it hurts me to think like with all the technologies we have, mankind going to the moon, going to space and so on, we are unable to defeat a tiny mosquito to kill. Every 80 seconds in Africa, children die from malaria, also a lot of mosquito-transmitted diseases, dengue and yellow fever, and a lot of diseases come through that, transmitted through insects. The same for animal diseases also. A wide range of animal diseases are transmitted through insects also. So climate change is an issue. A recent report, for example, says by the World Bank just came out, if we don't deal with climate change, by 2030, 100 million more people would go into poverty. So I think, I believe personally that I think one of the biggest impacts of climate change is going to be insects also. So insects are going to, as the world gets warmer, insects are going to shift also to warmer places. So a lot of African problems are going to be also problems somewhere else as it gets warmer. So it's if we have to make the planet livable for us in the many years ahead, if we have to manage our food security, nutritional security, if we have to develop the planet, we have to deal also with insects, both the benefits and the harmful part of what insects provide. Yeah.
Are people aware somehow of this wide variety of properties that insects have?
No, unfortunately not. I think we have to make people aware of that. I think we have to teach.
Would you mind repeating my question? Sort of, because otherwise you answer it yes or no. So do you think, are people aware somehow of the wide variety of properties, you think?
No, I think people are not aware of all this variety of issues associated with insects. So, for example, if you take bees, almost everybody knows that honey comes from bees. But a lot of people don't know that bees are critical also for food security. They pollinate crops. Without bees, and you don't have enough. In some of the plants, they require pollination by bees. No, people don't know a lot about this, and I think we have to teach it in school, in elementary school, in high school, in universities, and I think in the general public also to be aware of what insects do for people. Yeah.
Are there other properties you think that are very beneficial for insects? I mean, in terms of pharmaceutical properties or anything they do well for us?
Yeah. Yeah, insects play also other roles. For example, there are insects that are uniquely found antibiotics, insects that uniquely produce or have antibiotics, for example.
Shall we do it again?
Yeah.
So can you mention some other, well, quite unique properties that we are not very aware of?
Yeah. Insects have a number of other uses as well. For example, the antibiotics for people, for animals. I don't think we have investigated enough the unique antibiotics that exist in insects. There are also other things that, for example, this insect called soldier fly. They are very good in processing a lot of waste and converting them into fertilizer. So, yeah, there's a wide variety of use that we can make out of insects. I think some of the airplane helicopter design comes also from insect architecture. Yeah.
What is the uniqueness of your institute?
Yeah, I think the uniqueness for me of this of ICIPE is one, it is focused on really solving agricultural and health constraints in Africa. But what we produce is not just unique for Africa, it can be used globally. It is also, we also focus on very environmentally friendly and sustainable technologies and products. We have, for example, over the years generated biopesticides, pesticides that come naturally from a naturally existing fungus, and we manage insects, harmful insects. So these products now are commercialized together with in partnership with the private sector, and so it's registered now. They are registered in many countries in Africa, and currently they are being registered also in the European Union. So what we produce, very environmentally friendly, not contaminating the environment, not harming other beneficial insects. So it's not only just useful for Africa, but this can be used anywhere else as well, in Europe and North America. So we are unique in such that we focus on technologies and products that are environmentally friendly and that are also sustainable for a long term also. And that keeps a natural equilibrium also, yeah.
How important is your institute for Africa, maybe for the world? How would you describe that?
I think it's very, very important. I think I often ask my staff that if we cease to exist tomorrow, would people line up asking for reopening of ICIPE? And the answer is constantly yes, because we are making a major impact all across Africa, and we are focused on major constraints that are really impediment for agricultural and health issues. So it's a very important organization for the continent and globally as well. Yeah.
Why is it in Africa?
Why is it in Africa?
Yeah.
Good question. ICIPE is in Africa because it was founded by an African. It was founded 45 years ago in 1970 by a very renowned entomologist, insect scientist, a Kenyan professor. So it was founded as as an international center, a small center within a university, and it expanded. It expanded, and so today we have multiple nationalities of scientists and technical staff, and reaching out across Africa and making impact. And what I like about the organization is also that research, yeah, we do cutting-edge research. We do, we make major breakthroughs. We publish in high-quality journals internationally. But all that work is also with the aim to translate it to impact. There's nothing we do which is not either short-term or mid-term or long-term, is not translated to impact and products that reach the end user, which is the farmers and the beneficiaries in Africa and beyond. So so this really, truly making science to work for people, for society.
Can you describe how important insects are for the future of humanity?
Yeah, excellent. Very good question. Yeah, I think insects are really important for all our lives. Bees, I think bees. Europe and North America already knows now, because the bee population is going declining. Already knows that this is a problem unless we solve this, unless we take care of the health of the bees. So that one, I think it goes without saying, that if bees, if they don't exist today, tomorrow we are in trouble. So that has to go on for the future. I think for the future also, that if we have to diversify our feed source, and quality of protein, I think we have to mainstream also the use of insects as food. So there are a variety, more than 2,000 species of insects are consumed globally, about a third of them in Africa. So people consume them, they go to the forest, they collect them seasonally. Often it is women and children who are given these tasks to go to the forest and collect the insects. But so sometimes when you collect also, that you are going to, there is a tendency also to over harvest, and then you can cause, some of these insects have also a role in balancing the atmosphere, the equilibrium. So, and ECP has the technology, the capability to master a lot of these species of insects. But I think we have to change the perception of people globally, that insects, I mean, consuming insects is not something out of the ordinary. If 2 billion people have successfully been traditionally consuming them, we have to do it mainstream also. So the conversion rate also of feed and insect protein is a lot more efficient in insects. So with a very limited amount of feed substrate to insects, you can get high quality protein compared to the same quality protein in beef, in cattle. So for climate change, also mitigation for and so on. So I think insects are more compatible, I think, more sustainable.
One of your researchers actually published an article about locusts. You could better eat a locust than eat the food they eat.
Yeah.
Well, can you explain that? What did you?
Yeah. So we have been working on the various insects, also the protein and nutritional profile of these insects, also a number of insects that are being consumed traditionally. So we found that a lot of these insects actually have higher or equivalent content of nutrition and protein to equivalent to fish and to beef. So that is a good finding. Locusts, so we published recently, about 2 months ago, a paper, a very exciting finding. So locusts are really big pests. They go and they can, they storm and they can completely wipe your crop in an overnight. They consume a lot of greenery, crops or any vegetation. But people also consume them traditionally also in many parts of Africa and elsewhere. Yeah? So, but what we found is that locusts are that in laboratory setting that are fed on wheat seedlings. They convert that the wheat seedlings may have very minute amount of sterols. These are chemicals that are very useful to our health. They reduce cholesterol. They do a lot of, they have a lot of benefit to our health. And so the locusts they consume, and then they have, we don't know the mechanism there yet, they have then capacity to convert this sterols 20 to 40 fold. So if you have diet, locust-based diet, all across in your life incorporated into your diet, that the chance of you having a cholesterol or other heart problem is much, much lower. So this is an amazing finding. So I think if more and more, if we find the beneficial effect of the health, beneficial effect of insects as food, I think the perception of people also will change on incorporating insects into their diets. So.
What will insect research do for the future of Africa?
Yeah, I think if we have effectively understand, and we are constantly understanding the insects, their physiology, their ecology, their mechanism, how they transmit diseases, how they are fascinating creatures, and if we understand it better, if we know, then we identify then several cycles in their life cycle, several spots where the weak spots where we can manage. So I think we have to eradicate malaria. So why can't we, with all this technology, not just us, but the global scientific community, why can't we eradicate dengue? Why can't we eradicate tsetse flies that are causing a lot of problems both in humans and in animals? So I think if we tackle all this, I think the future of Africa will be bright. It will be less problem to deal with. So a lot of the problems that you find in Africa, they are actually manageable. We can manage them. We can tackle them. So it's not. We regularly make breakthroughs. We recently that a young group of scientists at ICPE in my organization, they discovered that certain mosquitoes, a certain population of the mosquitoes that transmit malaria, about a very small portion of them, we don't know why, they harbor bacteria in their body. So those mosquitoes that harbor these bacteria, they are unable to transmit the malaria parasite. That is a major discovery. So what we are doing is that what do these bacteria do to these insects, making them resistant and incapable of transmitting the malaria transmitting the malaria parasite, and why only a certain population, a certain percentage of the mosquito have it. So if we know that, and if we are able to transmit this bacteria to a wider range of the mosquito population, it is possible to significantly reduce the malaria transmission. So there is a lot of things we can do, and make a difference in Africa and elsewhere.
People I talk to say you are in a hurry. What do they mean?
I'm in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. I'm very impatient. Because I think, and I, if you talk to my staff also, they will tell you the same thing. I'm in a hurry. I'm pushing constantly. I'm impatient. That is because I think we have to live our lives with a sense of urgency, because every day we live, that tomorrow we have now, we are about to finish today. Tomorrow we have one day less than our life, our lifetime. So, which means that we are not getting younger. So we have to rush in to make sure that we have actually make a difference in people's lives, that we have lived also our lives with a purpose. So I think we shouldn't, I don't feel that I have to live for myself. No, I shouldn't live for myself. I should feel a sense of responsibility for my other fellow human beings. So that's why I'm in a hurry. I'm really in a hurry, yeah.
So what's the goal?
I want to do something. I want to make a difference for people. I want to solve problems for people who are not able to solve it themselves. And I think we are fortunate, as a scientist, I'm fortunate that I'm given this priceless knowledge and education. So I have to use it to not use it to publish a paper, but only to really to use to solve people's problems. Yeah.
What can science do for Africa in this respect?
Oh, science can do a lot of things for Africa and for the rest of the world. I think we should be able to find solution for all our ailings. Finding vaccine for malaria. We should be finding vaccine for HIV AIDS. We should be defeating cancer. So that's all possible, I think. Science can do a lot of different things too for people and for the planet, yeah.
What can Africa do for science?
Africa can do a lot of things for science. I think that's an excellent question that no one has ever asked me. I think governments have to value the science. Technology is really important for the continent development, for the people. So they have to value that, they have to invest significant proportion of their resources to science and technology and to other areas. Because I think the difference between my country and your country, which is my husband's country, is not a difference in our color, it's not a difference in the location where we are, it's a difference of capability. And education, that and investment and a capacity of people to innovate, capacity of people to absorb new technologies and to invent a lot of different things. If we don't do that, if Africa doesn't do that, it's never going to solve a lot of our problem. So how is it that the Netherlands, which has a miserable weather, can produce a lot of food, not only for its people, but I think can produce a lot. And we have this beautiful weather, beautiful sunshine, and a lot of resources, water and everything else, and we are not feeding ourselves. So it is, again, a capability, I think, issue for me, yeah. And knowledge and technology, and I think Africa has to do that to increase it, to enhance its ability to do. Yeah.
What can your institute do for Africa?
We do, ECP does a lot of things for Africa. So we, in line with what I have just said, we believe capacity is very critical. Capacity, at the end of the day, capacity is development. Development is all about capacity of people. So we have a very large capacity building unit. So every year we receive 100 to 150 graduate students all across Africa. They do master, their master's degree, their PhD degree. And So and then we train them. They are registered in many different universities, but they do the research at ECP. And so we are enhancing the scientific capability of many African countries in insect science. But also we train also a lot of farmers in different things. We train in the technologies that they adapt from us, and so on. So like this year, from January until October, 10 months that we trained more than 10,000 people in various different technologies. So this is a big, and we are a relatively small organization, okay? So I think this is a big contribution. So our products go all across Africa, technologies they go. So one of the things which is difficult for us is to scale out the technologies to reach as many people as we can. So for example, we have the technologies you are going to visit tomorrow in the field. It's an absolutely fabulous technology invented, created by, and developed by ECP and its partners. But this is a technology that is really needed all across Africa. But we are reaching only 10 to 20,000 people, farmers per year. But the technology is needed by millions of farmers. So now we are changing our model and partnering with governments and with NGOs and with the private sector to take the technology and to accelerate it in many different countries.
You like to defend this case to many people and share your thoughts with wherever you can share, because you also go to the president of your country or.
It's very important. We are not. It's very important for us to work with the governments, and to fit also with their own also strategic plan also. So we cannot just work in isolation. So the Ethiopian government has, for example, it has a very clear strategy development plan. So they took a number of our products and technologies and they fit them into their strategy. So they, for one of our technologies, for example, they have a plan to reach minimum of 20,000 farmers with that technology a year. So they are going to expand it themselves, I think, once you give them. And we do the technical backstopping, because it's a very knowledge-intensive technology. So you have to train farmers how to use it, but it's a fabulous technology. And beekeeping also, that they utilize beekeeping and silk farming, anything insects that we work on. Silk farming also is very needed. So it's not just only food security, but also income generation. You want to improve the livelihood of people in various ways. It's not just only producing more food and that's it, but you want also to diversify their income, reduce the risk mitigation. So if you have a diverse income, you are not dependent on one. So you are reducing the risk also, yeah.
So what would be your ultimate scientific goal?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a big question. I think I have many goals, but I will make it a more doable one. So I think, so tomorrow you will see this field visit. In the field, one of the critical problems in across Africa in many countries is a parasitic weed called Striga. It is a parasite on many cereal crops, on rice, on maize, on sorghum, on millet, all the staples that people need, the staple foods. And basically, this is a parasitic weed. It attaches itself to the roots of its host, is a maize or sorghum or whatever. It takes all the nutrients out from this. It cannot live without that host. And basically, it ruins a crop. So if you have that, it also produces a lot of seeds, like thousands of seeds, tiny seeds, and it sheds into the soil. And so once you have that, it is really, the soil is basically unusable. So we have a technology that can eradicate that. So what I really would like to see in my lifetime is eradicating this weed from all across Africa. And it's possible. We have the technology. What is needed is to scale it out, to get a large a number of partners and funders to say, okay, we are out to eradicate this, and then we are going to solve a major problem, food security problem for Africa. I would like to see that within my lifetime, and I think it's doable. Yeah.
How important are insects for a more sustainable world?
They are very important in many angles. They are important if you manage them well. They are important in cleaning your our environment. They are important in being the workhorse of farms. They are important as food sources. I mean, all these chicken that are sold as organic chicken that are free roaming in the farm. What do they dig? They go and dig and they pick insects. So you can mass produce that and produce bigger chicken and more in a more sustainable way. Fishery, aquaculture, that also is also insects can play a critical role in a more sustainable production system. So I can go on. I think they are really important. Yeah, they're important in.
But also in terms, because you want a more sustainable Africa.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I think they have even more so here because we have a myriad of diversity of insects. As diversity of ecology, our ecological zones are big. There are varieties. There are a lot of different plants all year round. So a lot of these insects also, they rely on plant sugar source as their thing. Mosquitoes, many people don't know. Mosquitoes, they don't just go and take my blend and they live on that. They need specific also to sustain them, specific plant nectar as source of sugar. So this is so insects more so for Africa because of our diversity of ecology, diversity of plants, diversity of things. We keep discovering new things. This year alone, we discovered and published our taxonomists and partners 15 different new wasps, which have never been described anywhere in the world. Yeah? And they are some of them. They are also beneficial because they feed on harmful insects. We have discovered also in Bita, where we are going tomorrow, one of our scientists discovered that there is a jumping spider. A jumping spider that is attracted only to mosquitoes that are filled with blood, with human blood. So, and they jump and they feed on those insects. If you give them other insects, they wouldn't touch it. They go specifically for those type of mosquitoes. But those mosquitoes, that specific jumping spider also requires a certain plant sugar source to sustain it also between its meals, mosquito blood-filled mosquitoes. We call it vampire spider. So what it means is also that if you keep those type of plants in your habitat, you are going to manage also to keep the equilibrium so that you are maintaining the spiders that feed on your mosquitoes, that will be less mosquitoes to transmit malaria. So our world is not in black and white. It's not in boxes. It's all a continuum. So we have to manage it as a continuum to make it very sustainable and very natural for the future. So if we cause imbalance by eliminating a certain type of insects from or certain type of plants, then you are causing also an imbalance in your environment.
What would be the way to go for Africa in this respect? I mean, you have, let's say, the European agricultural system, or like the USA is doing that. Is that a way for mm-hmm. Africa to go for? What would you see?
Yeah, that is an excellent question, but also a complicated question. And so you can't debate it either way, okay? You can't debate it either way because, one, so for example, 70% of, generally 60 to 70% of the population in Africa is engaged in agriculture. I don't think that is a smart way to keep that large proportion of your population in farming. So if you go Europe, North America and Canada, you have about 4 or 5% of the population. So it is very inefficient to have 70% of your population to feed the rest. So this is not efficient way to do it. So we have to do it better. So also, I think technology, scientific technology alone is not going to do the trick. So we have to have the right policy. We have to have the right environment to do these things. Why do I say policy? Policy is important in this because there has to be the right policy to land and access to land, access to resources. So if you take, for example, many African countries without mentioning a specific country, you have land. The farmers has, to begin with, very small land. So a farmer may have 6-7 children. Farmer dies, the 6-7 children split the land. So neither one of them can make a living out of that small pieces of land. So we have to have a policy to stop fragmenting the land to small pieces. Because you cannot make a living out of it. You cannot transform agriculture with small pieces. You cannot do a lot of different things also. So there has to be a policy also that is favorable to enabling a transformation of agriculture. We should be able to produce more with less. And we have to make our agriculture is more efficient in utilization. Also, a large proportion of our farming system is rain-fed. That's also not a sustainable way. To wait for rain, waiting in the sky for a drop of water to drop, that is not a smart way to do. And only 4% of the arable land is, or the farm land is irrigated. And yet we have a lot of water flowing. We have a lot of also water being wasted also. So there's a lot of different things that we have to do to transform our farming system. So having said that, I don't believe that one model alone is the model for Africa. So it may not be the European model, but there are a lot of things we can borrow from, adapt from the European land policy, access to this, or our efficiency in farming, and so on. So it's not a black and white answer. I cannot give you that. Yeah, but what I know is that we cannot continue keeping a large population of the our population percentage of our population in farming. That's just not doable or sustainable.
Can you imagine a future where insect knowledge, knowledge about insects, will be sort of export product for Africa?
Yes, actually, yes. There are.
Maybe you can repeat my question
again. Yeah. Okay.
So, what kind of future do insects have for?
Yeah. So, can we use insects as can Africa use insects also as export product? Yes, absolutely. I believe so. This is not actually even something for the long run, but it's already short run. There are companies that are already exploring to establish a plant here in Africa to produce mass rare insects for feed to Europe and somewhere else. So yeah, this is going to happen in the near future, actually. Yeah.
Maybe you can sort of give a compressed answer on how important insects are in terms of danger. You know, like what you said, that many there are many deaths caused by insects. Actually, many more deaths by malaria and any other kind of. So, and but also the beneficial things. So a little bit of a sort of compressed kind of answer.
Repeated to what I said.
Yep.
Okay.
So, if you would have to tell a nice story about what insects are mean for us, what would be your storyline?
Yeah. Bees are very, very important for humankind. So we have to protect bees without a doubt. So we have to make sure that they are healthy and they live nicely, happily. And there are many ways to do that. So, and they need to have good pollen, plant source, and so on. So bees are number one. I think they are among the top, which we need to do. Natural predators, predator insects are very important as well. Predators that feed on harmful insects, that are harmful to people, to animals. These are important as well. So, but I think we have to also pay attention and try to eradicate or find a solution also to a myriad of major diseases that are transmitted by insects, mosquitoes, like that transmit malaria, that transmit dengue, that transmit also a number of other diseases, both in animals and humans. Rift Valley fever and yellow fever and a number of other diseases, those are important. For Africa, tsetse flies are really critical. Many fertile land in Africa has been abandoned by people because of the tsetse fly infestation. So these are also very important. All these things that I have described, those are also focus for ICP, my organization, to do. So these are some of the important things, I think, we work on ticks also, ticks and tick-borne diseases. These are not just Africa problem, but it's also Europe, North America has a problem. And we have products in the pipeline that are very effective, natural products from plants, from other microbes within Africa. So I think the beauty of it is Africa has a lot of this problem, insect problem, but also a lot of also solutions also for controlling this. So for all these problems that I have indicated, like the tsetse flies, we have a product, for example, which came from the wild animals in Africa.
Somehow I have the feeling that your institute has a lot of hidden treasures. I don't know if that's
yes,
true.
Yes, we do. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. And the CPA, I think, has a lot of important, unique treasures that are not widely known. But I think now also we are making a tremendous effort also to for the rest of the world to know what we are capable of doing and what we have. So, and I think also I have to also indicate that ICPE does it is also work with a lot of partners globally. So we have more than 300 partners in Europe, North America, Asia, Latin America, elsewhere, including the Netherlands. We have a lot of partners there also. So yeah. So.
But how do you get these treasures into the world?
Yeah, that is a critical. I think it's a critical to scale out what we have so that the rest of the planet can and Africa can make use of what we have at a faster rate. And that is a challenge. That's a big challenge because the research organization is a research organization, and it's very difficult for a research organization to scale out and to reach out to a global platform. And so partners become very important, and funding becomes important. So funding, our funding, we are not a government organization. We are international organization that happen to be based in Kenya. So the funding comes from a lot of sources. Huh? So the European Union is among our largest investors, donors. The governments of Germany, of Sweden, of Switzerland, and the UK, many foundations, they provide funding for us to make breakthrough and make a change. So I think all these resources, I think, have to be made available, not just for Africa, but for, I think, the rest of the planet as well, because this is also, we are using the funds of the taxpayers of Europe and North America and so on, also to generate these things, these products, and find solution for the constraints.
A totally other question. If you would have to describe your philosophy of life, what would it be? How do you look to yourself and humanity in the future?
Yeah. Philosophy of life. I think for me, my motto personally is, and I tell my daughter also, I have one daughter who is going to be a scientist also. She just joined the university in America. First year. So I my motto is live life with a purpose, not just for yourself, but really to contribute to changing lives for those people who are less fortunate than we are. And I think there are millions of people who don't have the skills or the resources that we have. So it will be a tragedy for any human kind to live for himself, herself. Like if I have a good life myself, the rest is like, okay. So I think we have to, if we see a suffering of a fellow human being, we have to suffer together. We have to feel the pain. And I think if we have the means and the skills, we should do it. We should make use of it, yeah. That's what I think.
And can you see that science is changing because our knowledge is spreading well, quicker than ever around the planet? Do you see that?
Yeah. Whether science is making a difference to the planet at a pace that we want. That is questionable. I don't have yes or no answer. However, I know that our lives have tremendously changed because of contribution to science. If you just back several decades back, before the invention of antibiotics, before we had access to the first antibiotic, penicillin, which was accidentally discovered from a mold, from a fungus. That before that, people were dying from very simple, treatable things, from infections. So that's not the case anymore. And then since the discovery of penicillin, a lot of range of antibiotics were discovered from microbes, from plants, from other sources. So yes, science has made tremendous difference for us. The vaccines, polio is almost eradicated. So here and there only vaccines. People were dying from a lot of preventive disease. But the tragedy of it is even to this day, preventable diseases are still killing people in the developing world. People are dying from infection because they don't have access to simple antibiotics, or didn't have the means or the knowledge that actually if they vaccinate the kids at a certain age, that they will prevent some of these diseases. I to this day myself, I don't know what I have been vaccinated. I don't think I have been vaccinated when I was a kid. This is the world we live, the haves and the have-nots and the gaps, so big a difference, yeah? But yeah, science has made a tremendous difference in our lives, yeah? And I think it will continue doing it. But I think governments have to value science, not only in Africa, but globally, and do a significant investment also in science and technology also, yeah?